Climate change will bring rising sea levels and changing patterns of rainfall and ice melt. That means farmers around the world will have to find new ways to farm and to live with the tide. For our series Climate Connections with National Geographic, NPR's Quetzal Levine traveled to the mouth of the Amazon River. There, coffee-colored river water floods the banks twice a day. And that's where Quetzal found an intrepid woman who is pushing the limits of possibility. She's farming with no more than a machete and a forest full of mulch.
There is a lot going on here this morning. Birds are flying overhead, the radio's blasting. The pigs are squealing in the background.
And here come the ducks. At the center of all this ruckus is an extremely petite woman with short graying hair and prominent cheekbones. Her name is Rosario Costa Cabral. She prefers simply Rosario. And this is her domain.
Rosario and I are heading out into the forest. She does not speak a word of English, and my Portuguese is non-existent. But this is my first chance to see what it is that she does.
The forest begins where the farm animals end, and within minutes we're up to our rubber boots in tidal muck. We'll only be up to our ankles when the tide recedes. We're just going for a quick spin right now before breakfast, but the foliage is so dense I have already lost my bearings as Rosario hacks a path. I'm thinking we're going to hit a clearing where this celebrated farmer grows crops no one's tried here before. Upland species that, in theory, shouldn't tolerate flooding even once, let alone twice a day. But with my translator still sleeping, poor guy had a miserable night, I can't ask too many questions. So I listen to Rosario's mellifluous Portuguese, and mostly I say, wow.
Whoa, Rosario.
Paridi.
Oh, paradise.
Yes.
Bird of paradise.
Yes.
It's a scrumptious clump of scarlet red.
Papaya.
Papayas are just these monstrous green grenades coming down from this big leaf foliage.
Jirubeira.
In jirubeira.
Isso.
She makes massage oil from its nuts. After we pass her chocolate-bearing cacao tree, it hits me like a falling coconut. She's got those, too. We're not headed for her crop field. We're in her crop field. She farms the forest. As we enter a grove of green trees with irresistible peeling bark.
I love this. Yes. You just peel this stuff off. Whoa, Rosario. Look at that spider.
A learning curve can be a very dangerous thing.
Poison?
Si.
Poison?
Si.
Especially before coffee. The spider story goes down pretty well around the kitchen table, where we are joined by Rosario's wizened beauty of a mother, Doña Raimunda, and a multilingual Peruvian from the East Village, who these women adore. His name is Miguel Pinedo Vasquez. He's awake, feeling much better, and ready to translate.
Então, vamos começar.
When you moved to this land, what did it look like?
Olha, nós encontramos ela vazia, sem nada, não tinha açaí, não tinha nada.
When she moved here, she found this an empty forest. No resources. Now that she came here, she has to reconstruct the forest.
Rosario Costa Cabral did just that, along with her mother, brothers, stepsons, uncles. She started in 1991, and within 3 years, a forest once undermined by logging was feeding a family, generating income, and earning Rosario quite a name. Her first success was with cassava, its starchy roots, the staff of life in the tropical world.
Ai, raiz. Aí todo mundo se animou e plantaram.
She likes to demonstrate to other ones that things are possible, no? So when she planted, not just the cassava produced, but produced huge roots. So everybody, all the neighbors, came and saw the big cassava roots, and they asked for seeds. And everybody started planting.
So how'd she do it? She started with hand-picked seeds, which she'd brought with her from her last home, also in the Amazon, and where she'd spent years observing and selecting cassavas that showed unusual vigor and tolerance for environmental extremes. Second, she planted in the magic month of November, when the tides were at their lowest and her seedlings could get a head start.
Água baixa, Ela não fica cheia.
And she watched the floodwaters, where they went, how deeply they pooled. Through trial and error, she learned that cassavas could take up to 2 feet of quick tidal flooding, lemon trees 4 feet, chili peppers 1.5 feet, all growing in this Amazon jungle. It's merely stifling now as we head back into the forest with the indispensable Miguel Pinedo Vasquez, a family friend and an ecologist from Columbia University who spent a decade observing Amazon farmers like Rosario. He says she's one of the best, a master of adaptation in a landscape of constant change.
For instance, the continued rising of floods. Couple of inches for her is very valuable. If from 10 plants of chili peppers, 9 die because of floods, and 1 survive, she doesn't even want allow her brothers to eat that until they have enough to reproduce. I mean, this is a very deep knowledge, selection, adaptation, domestication.
With a mind as limber and flexible as her sinewy body, Rosario knows how to coax riches from her land. Among its greatest gifts, mulch. She uses it to keep soil temperature steady, absorb excess water, nourish crops. But more than cultivating produce or products, Miguel Pinedo Vasquez believes she's cultivating solutions to climate change.
We don't have to have only people who are spending years in university or years in financial institutions or years in politics. These are people who are going to make a big difference. They can offer knowledge, and they can offer plants, biological resources, to face changes.
Well, the woman has unstoppable energy. What is she doing now?
She's cutting sugar cane for us. She said after we walk in the forest, we need to have some sweet thing in our mouth.
As if the sweet songs of the Amazon weren't enough. Ketzel Levine, NPR News.
See, as St. Quetzal says, you can do dishes in all day long. It's surrounded by dappled jungle and bird song. And you can learn more about Quetzal's trip at her blog, npr.org/talkingplants.